The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, and usually somewhat fascinating Friday. As we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First up, there is the Holy Spirit of unity among believers, but there's also another spirit among non-believers. The results of this spirit and of the flesh are divisions. Next, Ray Bentley's book, This Day, which you can order on HeMustIncrease.org, challenges us to become doctors. Yes, doctors. And finally, the Book of Lamentations, or Sorrows, has a lot of crying in it, but if we look close enough, the hidden gem of divine strength is offered as a gift.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey there. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can reach out to us three different ways. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That will pop up in my very inexpensive Chromebook, which is probably now worth about $40, $30, $20, maybe $10. And then you can also text in, as you know. You can text 214-210-8483. We're pretty confident we've got all the electronic demons gone, so we're pretty confident everything will work fine. That's 214-210-8483. Now here's a special treat. Taking over for Terrific Tea today, because she got some vacay time, is wonderful Jennifer, and she will be answering the phone. Hi, Jennifer. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. If you call in, you will find out that when Jennifer answers the phone, it's like warmed baked chocolate cookies. It's like right as rain living when
Aww.
You talk to her. Isn't that nice?
That's nice. Thank
yeah.
you.
And then they send her over to me, and then it's like razor blades. Chop. Anyway, so if you call in, that's what you would call in. You get Jennifer first, 972-445-0770. That's for praise reports. That's for prayer requests. That's for comments or questions. The only thing we ask people is that if you can make a comment, keep it cool. Okay, keep it cool. We're not here to, like, you know, well, let's try and do some shock jock stuff. No. We're here to encourage one another and strengthen one another until we hear, da, 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 and then we won't have to worry about stuff. Okay, so that's our goal. Let's keep that in mind. Plus, we also do this other weird thing called trivia. Some people like trivia. I don't know. It seems like we get a lot of phone calls on the trivia. Here's the first question. Always an easier question to get you into the mood, get you going. Here it is. Who was healed, the son or the daughter of Jairus? Who was healed, the son or the daughter of Jairus? If you think you know, you want to reach out to us, you can call in or you can text in. Either way, in the meantime, I want you to be aware of a few things. One, I have heard special grapevine information given to me because I'm a media person. Sure. Anyway, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is I found out that there's more news coming this evening, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and even on Thursday, there's news coming. In the meantime, we have to function as Christians in our DNA, our building blocks for who we are as believers. are building blocks. The D stands for draw closer to the Lord, and that's daily. The N stands for never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, and the A stands for always be ready to serve. So you want to function in the DNA, okay? Okay. Oh, telephone. Help. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, it's Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir.
Okay. What do we got on the daughter or the son?
It was his daughter.
That is correct, ma'am. You got it. Excellent job. Very, very good.
Thank you.
God bless you. All right. So she gets off the phone fast because she's on in the car. So she does that quickly, right? Okay. All right. Good enough. Awesome job. Great job by her. It was the daughter. You better remember that because the trivia question coming up in the next segment, guess what, has another little connection to that. So you want to think about that ahead of time. Ooh. Ooh. Here we go. Jude. Now, I would say chapter one, but there's only one chapter, so you just say verses. Jude, verses 17 through 19. Listen to this text. Very important text. But you, dear friends, remember the words foretold by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They told you in the end times there would be scoffers walking according to their own ungodly desires. These people create divisions and are merely natural, not having the Spirit of God. Here is a fascinating text in the book of Jude. For those that do not know, Jude is thought to be another one of the Lord's brothers, just like James. This isn't when you read James and you're reading the book of James. You got James, then Peter, and then you have John and Jude. When you're reading James, that's not the James of Peter, James, and John. That's James, the Lord's brother, that you find out in Acts 14 and 15 is part of the council. Well, Jude is also thought to be one of the Lord's brothers, does not spend a great deal of time getting into too many deep things, but tells us in no uncertain terms, look, in the end, as things get worse and worse and worse, there's going to be a group of people, and they function according to their own ungodly desires. They are scoffers, which means they are like Christians. And they're like, what? Bible? Ha! Those are the scoffers. The scoffers are people that don't understand God created the universe. He can write a book. That's a scoffer is a person that goes, ha! I don't know. And what those people are functioning in is their ungodly desires. They're extremely worldly. Actually, they have a worldly spirit, which is ironic. And they, watch this, create divisions. This isn't the division that Satan is trying to create amongst Christians when he's having spiritual warfare against Christians. This is just straight out divisions all the way across the board. And the reason that that's important is because those divisions create tensions and problems. And if you remember the passage, it says in the end, the love of many will grow cold, and part of that is because everybody's separating and so on and so forth. And now just think of the divisions that we have in our world right now. Ready? I'm just going to give you a couple, and then you just tell me what you think. And I'm not even talking about the election. I'm just talking about regular stuff, right? We have race divisions. We have class divisions. We have climate divisions. We have drug use divisions. We have theophobes. A theophobe is somebody who's afraid of God. We have anti-Bible divisions. All of these people are fleshly. Their goal, without them even knowing it, is to create divisions. That demonstrates they're a part of the world. As Christians, towards one another, I would really encourage you to read the book of Acts, chapter 2, at the end, where it shows that all the Christians were, get ready, together. It doesn't say all the Christians were together, but the Baptists were over there, and the Pentecostals were over there, and the Lutherans were over there, and then that group over there, the Holy Rollers were over there, and then this group was over there, and the people that think eschatology's got to be premillennial, they're in that group. It doesn't say that anywhere. In fact, the picture of heaven are all people from all different tribes, from all different groups, from all different people zones, and they're all worshiping the Lord together. And in Acts chapter 2, towards the end of the chapter, you see that they are all together, committed together. The reason that I bring this up is while the world fights to create divisions, you in spiritual warfare and me in spiritual warfare need to fight to establish unity with our brothers and sisters. No, they won't think exactly like you do, but you don't think the way you thought 10 years ago, so I'm not sure what the problem with that is. Here's the bottom line. We have the same Heavenly Father, we are blood relatives, the blood of Jesus Christ, and we all drink from the same Holy Spirit. So in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is absolute unity. And it's just our own flesh and the world and the enemy that try and separate us from other believers. Okay? The goal, if they start persecuting Christians and you're running away because they're shooting at Christians, and you're a Baptist and you're running next to a Pentecostal, or you're a Pentecostal and you're running next to a Baptist, the goal is not to push the other person down on the ground so they get to them first. Okay? That is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is being united. King David said in Psalm 119, verse 64, I am a companion to all them that fear you. And that's how we as Christians need to be. Now, I don't have any problem that people have different points of view, different eschatologies. It's a lot different when we're talking about Christology, but we'll get into that another time. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is a person that believes that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose again. He ascended to the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's coming back soon. A person that believes that the Word of God between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21 is in fact the Word of God. That is my brother. That is my sister. And it is our job to pray for them, to keep them. This is why Scripture says when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one weeps, we all weep. That's the call for the Christian. And while the world is descending into division because they're fleshly and because they're natural and because they don't have the Holy Spirit, Christians ought to be uniting greater than ever. I'll challenge you right now, right now. I encourage you to establish relationships with Christians that are a little bit different than you, just so you can see how big and how awesome the body of the Lord Jesus Christ really is. Okay? That's a challenge. Arr! It's like a pirate challenge. Arr! Arr! Okay. Gonna take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible Trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at TexasAirKing.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And you know, every once in a while, you get some extra time in with the Lord, and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Yeah.
I just can't wait.
What's going on? Huh? Yep. You want to know the answer to that, I guess.
I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elijah raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
Seven.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed seven times, and then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those seven times without his eyes open, which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do, I mean, how do you sneeze, I mean... My eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happened.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
yes,
him?
Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but
I have to sit there and wonder.
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although it That could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent,
well, thank
excellent
you.
Answer.
Good
thank
to,
you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We roll. That's a great question that he sneezed in his face.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about September and Glenn, livinginhisgrip.com. Plus, I mentioned before, September's having a surgery on December 30th. We just want to keep her in prayer. She is confident in the Lord, but anytime you go through a surgery, it's uncomfortable. I don't care. You know, I mean, it's just one of those feelings. So keep them in prayer. We'd appreciate that. We're getting ready to do our trivia question for the Texas Air King and Coach, our good friend. So I just want to mention real quickly, Alton asked me a quick question, and I'm actually gonna do a brief answer. It's Al, but I'm just saying we have different names for different people because different people name Al, and so it's a long story. We don't want to call you L1, L2, LB, LC. I mean, that's just weird. Anyhow, the bottom line is I'm going to answer that question after the trivia, but I'm going to give a brief answer, just a real simple one. So don't go anywhere, brother. You'll hear that answer. In the meantime, let me say something about Texas Air King. So Coach doing a great job, and Eric got back to me, said that Coach took care of them, and he's got his air all working, so it's like, yay, praise the Lord, that's an awesome thing. And here's the deal, if you've got a system that needs to be replaced, one of the things that Coach is offering is, you know, for not for credit, but for installment payments, you can get a whole new system for about $80, like $81 or something a month. And the bottom line is that your new system will save you that much per month, so it could be a wash. I mean, that's kind of a nice way to go about it. But you want to just talk to Coach, you'll hear the tagline, and don't forget to go to TexasAirKing.com. Let's play that clip.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC Coach today. Call or visit him online at TexasAirKing.com.
All right. Now, on Coach's trivia questions, you know, sometimes I do a little tricky stuff because it makes it more interesting, right? So I'm not saying this is a trick question, but you need to listen to the question that I'm asking, because just like we did the other day when we said how many times did Jesus say to Paul somebody should be forgiven? He didn't. It was to Peter. That was sneaky. I'm telling you. Got to watch that. All right, here we go. Ready? So you got to get your mind ready. Here we go. How many years did Jacob work for his uncle Laban in payment for his daughters? Just going to leave it right there and let you figure that out. In the meantime, we do have to do something on the website. Somebody's calling in, but we should have a website. You want to go ahead and play the website? The website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. So, and then we have somebody who's calling in to give an answer on the trivia question. All right, we're going to answer that, and then I'll get to the other stuff. So hang on. This is David. What kind of pizza can I get you? Oh, no. Who am I talking to?
I was just going to say, yeah, I'd like a pepperoni with mushrooms.
That's fantastic, brother. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I am just absolutely doing wonderful. So, all right, so let's go. Let's go for the answer. So how many years? Now, remember, sometimes I get a little sneaky. So how many years?
You.
How many years did Jacob work? I don't know what he called him, if he just called him Uncle Laban. I've been working on that because as a Yiddish guy, you would never just call him Uncle Laban. You would be like Uncle L or Uncle Laby or something along those lines. How many years did he work for the daughters?
I'm thinking it was two stints of 7 years each, so a total of 14
that
years.
That is correct. You got it. Yee-hoo. Excellent job. Alita got it right. Joy got it right. Everybody's been running it. Good job. All right. Excellent job on that. So, I mean, that's a good one because it was 20 total years, but 7 years for each daughter and then 6 years for the wages. So it's like a little sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. So total 20, but 14 for the daughters. Excellent, excellent job. Boy, that's a guy that that was a transaction that did not go well, huh? That one did not go so well. All right, my friend, do you want me to answer that question you were wondering about, or do you want me to do it off air? How do you want to do it? Did you have another question for me?
I hung up on him.
Oh, you hung up on him. Okay, that's fine. Let me give you the answer.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Let me just say. So Al asked a great question. He was listening to something the other day, and they said something about a body and a soul, or are we body, soul, and spirit? Okay, which is a really fair question, just to let you guys know. I just want you guys to kind of be in touch with it. Bottom line to that is there is a tremendous amount of theological debate. Never let stuff like that freak you out. It's not the end all. I've said often and will say often again, those are not the hills by which we should be dying on. The hill that you die on is called Calvary. Okay, so you don't die on these other hills. You die on Christology, not on these things. But from my point of view, and I know this will stir up some trouble, okay, body, soul, and spirit is referred to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And I see it as – we do have somebody, I think, calling in, Jen, just to let you know. Body, soul, and spirit is, to me – a little closer to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, and body, soul, and spirit are one as a person. So I think there's a Trinity connection, but I'm not willing to die on that hill either. Okay, I'm just telling you up ahead of time. See, I always think the Lord does little things like that that people don't recognize. So in my master's class, somebody had asked for me to give an illustration. And here's an excellent illustration of the Trinity. Ready? This is just a great, great one. I have a mind, and I have a heart, and I have my body, right? I have my mind and my heart, my body, but I am known as David. Even though all of those work together as a unit. I always thought that was an excellent illustration of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they work together as God. Okay, got it. But, you know, again, not a hill to die on. All right, we did the website. Don't forget, hemustincrease.org. Here's the bottom line. We need help. We always need a little financial help, especially when you get in December. And let me just do this real quickly because our time is tight. I want to share this with you. This is a devotional from Ray. And Ray is, my buddy. I appreciate everything he's done. This is from his book, This Day, which you can get on our website. We don't make any money from it. We're just promoting his book. Here is a devotional from him, and I want you to think about it because it has a lot of implication. Here's what it says, written by Ray Bentley. And so we wait. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. The danger of our hyper-connected lives sounds like a prescription drug warning. Side effects include the need for instant gratification and loss of patience. Patience. The believers in Corinth were encouraged and commended for eagerly waiting. But patiently waiting doesn't resonate in our culture today. We have grown accustomed to faster and better. The demand for instant everything has crept into every area of our lives. Smartphone apps eliminate the need to wait for a ride, a date, a table at your favorite restaurant. We can access news, bank accounts, school, and work accounts. Everything is fast and instant. We expect things so quickly we can't wait for a few seconds for a movie to load or the internet to move to the next story or the page. Be honest, have you ever yelled at your phone, at your computer, or at your iPad? Yet the supernatural and spirit-filled life has always been and always will be filled with waiting, longing, and hoping. Abraham was given the promise of a Messiah, and his people waited some 2,000 years. Those who didn't recognize him still wait. Our generation has already waited nearly 2,000 years for the Messiah's return. We wait for answered prayers. We wait for answers to our why questions. We hope for and anticipate God's blessing. You do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait, the apostle assured us. One of those spiritual gifts is patience. Definitely a fruit of the Spirit. Moments of yearning and waiting with patience help us grow in understanding and appreciation of the ways of the Lord. Patience, in some translations, is the fruit of the Spirit, like we mentioned. The presents under the tree fill children and grown-ups with anticipation and suspense. When they're finally opened, what joy explodes! As wrapping paper and ribbons are torn off and flung aside, what joy to the giver and the receiver. As we grow older, we discover that the greater joy is in being the giver of the gifts. So our Heavenly Father views us that way. He loves to bestow his spiritual gifts to us and make sure that we lack nothing. He also blesses us for waiting and gives us the gift of patience. Biblically, waiting is not just something we do until we get what we want. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. Ouch! First of all, I just want to say thank you, and also I'm mad at you, Ray. And second of all, he's right. I just ordered this gift for my brother. I mean, a day ago, he already got it. I ordered it. Somehow it went from me to Washington to Phoenix in less than 24 hours. How's that possible? I don't know. And here's our deal. Our deal is we have that much patience with the Lord. Well, Lord, I prayed this prayer. I can't believe you didn't give me the instant scratch off. It's like, come on. You know, I know it's hard, right? And then in our microwave society, it's difficult. But guess what? We have to be patient. And in that patience, here's the other part of it. You become more mature. Because it's the whiny child that says, no, I want it now. Give it to me now. And that's not very Christ-like, and it's not very mature. Okay? You will lack nothing from the Lord, but you receive it in his perfect time. Okay? Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, for you and I, God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, here we go. I got a trivia question. Kind of a classic. Now, I'm going to give you the chance to do this by memory first. And then, if you can't do it by memory, that's okay. Then you need to go to Matthew and look it up. Okay? All right. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? There you go. You can text the answer 214-210-8483. You can call in 972-445-0770. Our wonderful Jennifer will take care of you. Be really nice, then turn it over to me, and then you're on your own. Okay. Let's play. Let's wait on history for a second. Before I get to history, I want to do a replay on our website because we're a little bit low on the little bit of dough. So let's do the website, remind people where it's at. So go ahead and play
website,
that. HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncrease Ministry. YouTube, HeMustIncrease Ministry. All right, again, guilt is not the thing I like to operate with. I grew up with a Jewish mother. I know guilt so well. I had it for a hat. Here's what I would tell you in regards to giving. If you can give, great. And if you can't give, then pray for us that people will help us. That's it. That's reasonable. There's nothing weird about that. Okay, we have somebody calling in on the trivia question. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Well, I'm making it.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm praying for you every day, so I know that okay. You're going through a tough time, but I'm believing that the Lord will help you. All right, my brother, here we go. This is a classic. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why?
Well, they will see God.
That is correct, sir!
They shall see God.
That is right. The pure of heart will see the Lord. And that's, you know, one thing that's really cool that I haven't done the teaching on, but Adam Clark, an old commentator, made a really good presentation in regards to the Sermon on the Mount, saying that it was not just the call for us to respond, but also he illustrated it that it could actually be steps of a sinner going from his sinful place unto redemption. And it's a really fascinating study, and one day I think we'll do it. But that's one of the Beatitudes. It's one of the attitudes to be pure, and then we can see God. Good job, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless, bro.
God bless you.
Uh-huh.
God bless you.
All right. That's Gary. Good job. Everybody calling in, doing a good job. Everything happening. Woo, woo. All right. Let's do a little bit of history. Now I got to find my history page. Where'd that go? All right. Here's my history page. Go ahead and fire away on the history.
Let's go live in the past.
That's right. No other Christian show could get away playing that song. Just saying it right now. A lot of people have no idea where that's from, and that's just fine. We'll just leave that there. Here you go for National History Day. This is a classic. Number one, it's Bake Cookies Day. I mean, Bake Cookies Day.
Yum.
That's, yum, right? How's that? That's a good one, right? Number two is Answer the Telephone Like Buddy the Elf Day. Santa! I'm like that kind of thing, I guess.
It's Santa! I know him!
That's amazing that you know that.
I know, right? I've seen it way too many times.
Yeah, that's I'm going to say that's not the greatest, but it's funny. And then it's also, and I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to help anybody with this. I don't know where to take this. I don't even know if I should say it, but technically it's National Wear a Plunger on Your Head Day. I got nothing. What am I supposed to say?
I don't know.
It's like you can't say a lot about that. From a hysterical point of view, on this day in 1964, the Pink Panther cartoon made its premiere on television. I like the Pink Panther. You like the Pink Panther? Okay. And then finally, in 1966, the story How the Grinch Stole Christmas was also made its television debut. A lot of people do not know, but the Grinch was voiced by the guy named Thurl Ravenscroft. And you think, well, who's Thurl Ravenscroft? Who in the world would know
that?
What
a name.
Okay. He was Tony the Tiger.
Oh, okay.
In the commercials. See? See? We just, nothing but high-level education here, folks. Okay, sure. So most of you know at this point in our existence that I do a lot of different devotional stuff in the sense that I'm currently in the King James, the NIV, the New King James, the Christian Standard Bible, the New Living Testament, the NET Bible, the Berean Study Bible, and New American Standard Bible, because I just really get into different versions. So I was reading this portion, and I want to read this to you, and I want you to let me go through the whole thing, and I want you to, just for 5 minutes in your life, for 5.5 minutes, get all the distractions out of the way. Stop looking at all the other stuff just for 5 minutes. I never asked you to do this before, have I? I don't think I ever have. And listen to this text as I read this and kept underlining and underlining and going, wow, so amazing, so amazing. This comes out of Lamentations, which is also known as the Book of Sorrow. And I want you to hear what's said and hear the response and the lead up. And I just want you to take a few minutes to just tune out all the other distractions and just listen to this. This is Lamentations. It's chapter 3, and many people know, but we're going to start in verse 18. This is what it says. My splendor is gone, and everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time. As I grieve over my loss, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. And we'll get to that in a second, but here I want you to just listen as Jeremiah is writing. The end of Jerusalem as people knew it was coming to an end. Jeremiah was thrown into a well that was filled with mud. His life was, he thought he was dying. I mean, it was just dramatic. Everything was coming to a brutal end. And he felt that. And here is the key in that. He expresses it. Everything I'd hoped for from the Lord is lost. I will never forget this awful time. And many of us go through that. And we can relate to that, and we understand what that means. We understand that we feel like there's loss, and we understand that there's a difficulty that's beyond words, and we understand that there are periods and seasons in our life that are awful, and there's a time for everything, and one of those times is things not to be so great, and we all go through that. And yet he says this in verse 21, yet I still dare to hope. There's a bravery taking place here in hoping. And then in verse 22, the unfailing love of the Lord never ends. And that's where the hope is. The hope is not that this disaster that you're going through is the end all. It's bad. And it's a time you'll never forget. But the daringness and the willingness to hope and the bravery to hope and the idea of that hope being centered in the unfailing love of God, which means that even though you go through the hardest possible trial, there is a redemptive end. And then Jeremiah writes, by his mercies we've been kept from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every day. And so in this particular version, it's focusing in on the mercies of God. And the mercy of God comes into play this way. Grace is receiving stuff you could never deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. In other words, judgment. And he's like, the mercies are new every day. They're fresh every day. God's not going to judge me. Keep judging me. I'm going to find deliverance. And then he says this, the Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him and seek him. In verse 26, he says, so it is good to wait quietly for salvation. And the reason that it says wait quietly means not complaining. And in the hardest times and in the worst times and the most frustrating times, of which I know them just like everybody else, the way that we endure matters. We can dare to hope and we can trust in the unfailing love of God and we wait upon the mercies to be revealed and we seek him in the process, but we wait quietly without complaining. Because complaining is not relying or daring to hope. When we complain about what the Lord allows in our lives, we tell God, you're doing a lousy job being God. And you can't do that. He's not going to let us do that. Because it's not right. It's not fair. Job, all the stuff Job went through. Remember the end and how it all ended? He said, Job justified himself rather than God. Yeah. Let's not do that. That's just a bad idea. That's just a bad way to live. Let us dare to hope. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. Two, do nothing and just watch life from the sidelines. Three, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, I should give you a warning. Next week, I'm doing a couple of Christmassy things. Christmassy. That's how we say them. Christmassy things. I think you'll really enjoy them. I think they're good. I'm actually going to do one of the ideas of the Christmassy thing in this very segment right here. But before we do, let's see. Do we want to do that? Let's do the trivia question. We've already done the website enough. That's enough. I don't need to do it anymore. Here's the trivia question. Now, not the easiest trivia question. Notice how we start and they're easier, and then they get a little harder, and then a little harder. This is gonna be a little harder. Okay? All right, everybody, sharpen your minds. Here we go. All right? Okay. In what book of the Bible do you find the following? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. In what book of the Bible do you find, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel? Which book is that in? Which book is that in? If you think you know, you're welcome to call in, or you're welcome to text in. If you want to text, it's 214-210-8483. We did have somebody try to call in to answer a question. I can't answer on this phone if you call in. Just doesn't work. So there you go. Very, very difficult. Oh, people are guessing. I love it. They're texting, and you know how much I love this. Let's not forget next week. Oh, Jennifer, you know what I didn't even think of? I got to come up with a Christmassy thing, huh? A Christmassy
yes,
show. Yeah. Oh, okay. Good. I better remember that. Christmas. It'll sound like I'm here, but I'm not. Okay? All right. I might do the testimony again. I don't know. Last year, I think we did the testimony. We'll figure it out. All right. Today's Friday. That's so far away in my life right now, I could not possibly even think about it. Okay, final trivia question. If we don't get a call in, I'll give the answer at the end of the show. What book of the Bible do you find the following? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This is why I like the Lord, because he shouts. And with the voice of the archangel. And some people go, it's archangel. It's like, whatever. If you're from Detroit, it's the big angel. That's what I would say. Here you go. Here is a Christmas cool thing, right? Christmas cool. That's what I'm calling this, all right? I want to show you something that is practical in our daily living, and you need to think about this, just like we did that last text. By the way, that last text, for those who are trying to figure out what that translation was, that was the NLT that I did the Lamentations 3 in, New Living Translation. But this is a Christmas cool thing. Ready? Get ready for the statement. Here it is. Here's Christmas. Ready? God brings the gold out of garbage. God brings the gold out of garbage. You might be thinking, what? Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. He went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled that was said through the prophets. He would be called a Nazarene. And you're thinking, yeah. Okay, well, let's go to John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and said, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Here's the thing a lot of people don't recognize about Nazareth, okay? Nazareth had poor morals and poor speech. Some people will say that it, I'm not saying this, but some people will say it is kind of a little more on the ultra-urban, more of the deprived and somewhat depraved sections of town where people might go to, like in our day and age, people might go for illicit sex or to purchase drugs. It was not a great place. Okay, think of the worst city you've ever been to, besides New York. Think of the worst city that you've ever been to, okay, and then like triple it. That's what Nazareth was like. And so Nathanael's like, anything good come out of Nazareth? That's not possible. You know? It's like, you mean a conservative came out of California? you see how that would work? You see how you'd go, wait a second, right? All right. Somebody, I got more to say on that. Somebody's calling in. We're going to give them that chance. I hope nobody got offended at that. But it's to show you that gold comes out of things that you wouldn't think. Okay, ready? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Dan.
Hi, brother. How are you? Good to hear
you. Excellent. How about you?
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear from you. All right, my friend. This is a classic, and I have some people guessing in on the text, but some are right and some are wrong, so I'm going to give you the chance to lay it down for people. In what book of the Bible do you find the following? "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel."
1 Thessalonians 4:16.
That is correct, sir! 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Excellent job! You are just, when you call in, I know you are a go-to guy. It's just that easy. Good job. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. All right, God bless.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Yeah, we say Merry Christmas around here. We also say Happy Chanukah. No, it's Hanukkah, people. Come on. I can't believe that guy did that thing where he called it Chanukah. Oh, my goodness. That's pretty funny. Anyway. All right. So I just want you to catch this one thing. See, Nazareth was a crummy place. I can't say this anymore where you can get this. Let me see how I can say this. It was a crummy place. That's all I can tell you. And Jesus came out of Nazareth. Here's what you got to catch. God takes what would be considered by mankind and by all of us a horrible place and brings out the single most important living entity ever on the planet from that place. Now, you think about your situation. You think about how frustrating it can be. You think about the ups and downs that you go through, and you think about how, oh, it's just horrible and it's this or that, and then you recognize with me, understanding Christmas, understanding Jesus coming out of Nazareth, because he was in Nazareth, Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. He was there when he was a little kid. Here's the bottom line. Out of your yuck, God can bring fantastic. So stop thinking you're stuck in the yuck, like Chuck. Stop that, okay? You're not. It's amazing how God weaves things together for good. It's amazing how God brings together the weirdest, worst, what we would consider most awful scenarios, and then goes, ding, watch this. You go, how'd that happen? Exactly. And see, we've talked about this before, and I'm just going to say it, and then you guys can freak out about it later. You know, the situation sometimes is so desperate, there is nothing you can do but look to God and go, oh, help, help, help. And God's like, well, it's about time. I've just been waiting for you to do that. Now I can step in and do stuff. Because it's in our weakness that he's made perfect, and his power is made perfect, and he shows his cards. God's holding his cards right up against his chest. And then when you stop, he lays down his cards, and you go, whoa, hey, that's a pretty good hand. Get that? So whatever you're going through, however dark it seems, however Nazareth-like it feels, you need to understand that out of the Nazareth, out of the dark, out of the horrid, God brings treasures of gold, not just for the church at large, which he does do, but for you individually as his child. Just think of all, just watch this. Just think of all the things that you either did or could have done that God brought you out of or spared you from. And just think of how intricate his love for you is. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Now, I shaved my head, so it should be zero for about a minute. But then the hairs start growing back. I still don't know the numbers, but God does. Why would he care about something so insignificant? Because you are significant to him and everything about you. Even though you don't sit there and go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, you don't count them. But God knows them. And he knows. And because of that, he's going to bring all of that Nazareth stuff. You think, well, I thought the Nazareth place was really great because of the Old Testament and stuff like that. Yeah, things change. The Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. In the New Testament, it was like, bleh. You know? That'd be a story they'd put on 2020 or something. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God will bring you out of a bad or dark or horrible place and will turn the garbage into gold because he can. In the meantime, you dare to hope and don't wait for his salvation with complaints, but do it with praise. Honor your king. He knows what he's doing. He has a reason for what he allows and what he does. Trust him. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 71-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.